Good morning, everyone. So, Nashville is so ridiculous, first of all, I just have to say. I thought it was supposed to be way colder this morning and planned my workout for the inside and all the things. Didn't even bother to go outside because it said 38. Well, there's no wind. It's sunny and it does not feel like 38 degrees out here. So anyway, I just got back. Oh, let me turn my watch off. I just got back from a short walk. I did an upper body lift this morning, starting my Saturday off like a freaking baller. One of the things I wanted to say is, as I'm saying good morning, is I keep my routine on the weekends. I think a lot of people use the weekends to sleep in and all this other stuff. And I'm like, you can do that if you want to. But for me, one of the things I think that's helped me over the years in terms of losing my weight, keeping my weight off, is I use my weekends to really almost like double down on my healthy habits. And I started that mindset a long time ago because one of the things that I realized, since you guys are all doing self-sabotage, is, whoa, before I even say it, look what just happened. Say hello to everyone.
Hello, everyone.
It's like slow rolling this morning here in the Crabtree House. I'm a baller on Saturday mornings. The boys, not ballers. So, just got my coffee. One of the things that I realized when I was losing weight is that weekends were usually a shit show. And so I knew that one of the things I had to do was figure out how was I going to clean up my weekends. And I thought, well, the biggest problem that I have is I had this mindset around the weekends. It's like, oh, that's when I take time off. That's when I like get away from it all and blah, blah, blah. And I started thinking about like weekends as a gift I give to myself. Like, what is it about this, like the weekends, that I'm going to need to set up in order to look forward to it, in order for it to be where I take care of myself and do all those things? So I like literally had to do a mindset shift in realizing, here's how I've been thinking about my weekends. And no wonder I overeat. No wonder I like go head first into whatever and drink whatever and all this other stuff. So as you guys are working through self-sabotage, one of the things that I had you do in the very first week is to write your stories. If you struggle on the weekends, you need to know your weekend stories. You need to know what it is you tell yourself. And then you need to think about, all right, if I wanted to have weekends that helped me feel my best, that actually where I relaxed, but I also knew that I was taking care of my goals and I was taking care of my future self, what would that look like? I literally, I'm not joking, I have been thinking about my typical days, and last night, wrote out one more time, what does my ideal day look like? What do I want my ideal day to be? What do I want my ideal weekends to be? So a long time ago, I started setting up like success weekends. Success weekends for me were not about like, you know, chewing on my hand and being hungry and all the things. Or like the only thing that ever was good about the weekend was me just looking forward to what I could eat. I stopped tying weekends to food. And that is a common mistake you guys do. You guys sit there, and I did this for years. That's how I know you're doing it. You think about your weekend, and the first thing your brain goes to is the things you're going to get to eat, the things you're going to eat, places you're going to eat, the people you're going to eat with. And I started thinking about, like, but what do I really want out of weekends? Like, I want to relax. I want to, like, feel good about myself. I don't want to be stressed and all that stuff. So I started pulling apart, well, how am I stressing myself out with food? How am I like, you know, doing those things? So that is a lot of the things that I would think about. So one of the things that that I did was, in the beginning, is I made sure that I just went ahead and got up on the weekends. I still wake up at 5 a.m. on the weekends. Now, I don't get up and start working and clean house and do chores. And, you know, obviously I don't take a shower and stuff. I get up and I read and I drink my coffee and I do the shit that feels good. So like on Sundays, I get up. The thing I have taught myself to love is like how I teach you guys in the Mastering Time course. I plan my week out. I have been planning my weeks for, God, years now. And I used to not be a planner. springtime allergies, y'all. For reals. So what I did was I started thinking about, like, I want to spend time with me and I want to set myself up for success. So I love on Sunday mornings doing nothing better than drinking coffee and sitting there. I don't know why this watch is going ape shit, but it's bothering me. Drinking coffee and thinking about, what do I need to accomplish this week? What do I need to focus? I put down all my self-care on my week. I write out my food. I plan as much as I can. Even if I don't know the exact foods I'm going to eat, I do know the days where I need to have my own back. I put down, like, these are the three breakfasts I'd love to eat this week. I'll rotate those in every single day. These are the lunches, whatever it is. And then, even though now I don't do my food prep, my sister-in-law does it for me. I've already sent her our food for next week. But for 15 freaking years, I cooked on Sunday. I made sure that our shit was ready. I portioned my food out. And I don't mean measuring everything. But, like, I knew one of my problems was, if I wanted cereal, I needed to measure out the cereal ahead of time in bags. Otherwise, I'm just, like, dumping, dumping, dumping. Now I have ate cereal and portioned it for so many years, I automatically, habitually know how to pour it into the bowl, and I know how much gets me to my two. But I had to start within the beginning showing myself those things. And I didn't mind showing myself stuff when I was like, you know what? I'm going to take time to make portioned out stuff this week, because what I want to do is, one, I want to save my time the rest of the week having to fish out things. Number two, I want to make it so fucking easy on myself to experience success that I don't have anything in my way, even the little things. So, like, I got into the habit of doing some food preps. And guys, they don't have to be fancy. For me, there's been several weeks where food prep meant five of my dry-ass Weight Watcher pizzas, cut up fruit from the Publix, and already done bowls for me. I'm like, well, there's lunches. Yeehaw. I'm good to go. Like, you get to, like, think about your success. But most of you have got to identify, when are you not thinking about success? When are you just sitting around thinking it's so hard, and you're sitting around thinking about all the things you're afraid you're going to have to do, and you're sitting around thinking about what might not work, and you're sitting around thinking about what's not worked in the past and what you're afraid you might have to do from your past? When you spend time there, guess what? You recreate the drama today. You get to sit and you get to think about how to make it easy on yourself. You get to be creative and try new things to make it easy on yourself. You get to ask questions about what is everybody else doing to make things easy this week. You get to do that stuff. But you got to choose to do that stuff more often than you choose to sit there and tell yourself you can't do it, or it's too hard, or I'm afraid of this. Every single time you have a thought where you feel afraid and you think, I'm afraid of this, guys, that is a surefire trigger thought, a trigger to think something better. Most of you think it's a trigger to be like, go face down in something. It's like, stop practicing that part. Start using, we're going to be talking about fat girl thinking next week. You're going to keep all your old self-sabotaging thoughts for a long time. We don't need to be getting rid of them, because if we have to get rid of them to be successful, can't be successful. What we have to do is quit listening to them like they're gospel. And we have to start using them for the trigger to think the new things. And that means you're going to have to spend some time with a fucking piece of paper and write out the new things. That's it. Then you utilize the power of your fat girl thinking. You utilize the power of your unintentional thoughts. You utilize the power of your habit brain kicking up all that old stuff to steer you into the direction you want to go, because you're deciding where you want to go. You're predetermining where you want to go. You know the thoughts that you want to access, and you keep practicing them. And if you don't remember to use them, the second you catch yourself, like, oh yeah, I forgot to think this, you just remind yourself in that moment until the gap gets closer and closer and closer to old thought comes in, brain starts going to the new stuff. Stop saying, my mindset is the worst. Nobody has the worst mindset, guys. Y'all, it doesn't matter what your mindset is. Y'all have to quit, like, sitting there. Like, I want you to take your mind, and then here's you up here going, and that sucks, and that's my problem, and blah, blah, blah. You're, like, beaten down on it. This model that's watching your mindset, clean it up. Because your mindset's going to evolve and change over time. But this model that judges it, that's the one we can change immediately. That's the one that we can get fast weight loss. That's the one that can start changing your body and your relationship with food now. That's phase two of no BS. That's it. Here's you in a circumstance line. You and your thinking. You and your brain. That's your circumstance. What are you going to think about it? I'm fucked up. It's hard. Oh, God, I'm messed up. Oh, I'm the worst. Blah, blah, blah. Like, yeah, well, that all feels like a fucking wad of shit. No wonder you ain't doing shit. No wonder you're confused by the phase two. No wonder you ain't pushing play. No wonder you don't do a journal. You can't do shit when you're sitting there slapping yourself around. Like, I want you to think about abused women. They get punched and slapped around all the time. Guess what? They live in fear. Guess what they also do? They try to change nothing. They try not to rock the boat. If you are abusing yourself all the time and you're not trying to stop it, guess what? You ain't going to want to rock the boat even in the areas of your life where you're eating your face off. You won't want to do it. You won't want to change either. You don't want to stir up your mental drama. That's all you got to do. We got to just start thinking, here's my mindset. Working on it. Here's the new thoughts. Like, when all of these things come into play, all these old thoughts, my fat girl thinking and stuff right here, here I am up here going, and we're going this way. Come on, get back in line. Let's go this way. So I use this example when I did the 6-day in person with my girls who came for, they spent a week with me and we've been working together for a few months. And before y'all ask, we're going to do another one next year. So we'll talk about that later in this year. Mama is not ready to prepare any more events right now. One of the things that I taught them was the example of you are now, like, I want you to think about yourself as a duck family. Logan told me this. The mama duck is in the lead. And the daddy duck is in the back. And the mama duck is walking. And baby ducks are like your fat girl thinking brain. It's trying to, like, the mama duck is the goal. Like, I'm going to lose my way. I'm going to get me baby size 10. I'm going to wear me some jeans I ain't worn in years. I'm going to do the things. I'm going to feel amazing. Get off my blood pressure meds. This is me. So that's mama duck. Mama duck is your goal. Baby duck, all of them, is all your current thinking. Everything you got going on. And all that current thinking is trying to follow mama duck. And she's like, wah, 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 wah. But it's like, oh my God, there's a donut. And over here is like, oh my God, I've never lost weight. And they're like trying to scatter and find all the new shiny things. You and your conscious brain, the one watching your fat girl thinking, you are the daddy duck. And what do daddy ducks do? Wrangle that shit back in. Nope, nope, nope. We're going this way. And they're like, wah, 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 wah. And they come late chasing after little baby ducks and they run them back into the line. That's you. That's going to be you for a long time. You're going to have goals. You're going to have a lot of thoughts. You're going to want to have shiny object syndrome, scatterbrain, run off, try to play in the street when it can't be playing in the street. And then you're going to have to be the daddy duck in the back telling it where to go. Running over there and then taking that wing and putting them right back in line. That's how our mind works. It's supposed to get all scattered. I'm glad y'all like that analogy. That seriously came from Logan. My son is so smart, y'all. Oh, I swear. That child, he cracks me up. All right. So we're going to have success weekends. And the way we're going to do it, you're going to figure out what a success weekend look like for you. And a success weekend feels good. A success weekend has sometimes, mine has wine on it most of the time. Mine also has mornings where I prep myself. I exercise on the weekends. I love exercising on the weekends. I get to go a little longer if I want to. I just think about what are all the things. I just think about what is a weekend where I am able to, for me now it's maintained, but I used to think like, what is a weekend like for me where I'm able to enjoy myself, relax, lose weight, and set myself up for success? Like, what's that look like? What would that be? And I go to work on it. All right. Let's see what questions you guys have. So I have this bird feeder. I don't know if y'all guys know this, but I'm going to show you. See if y'all can see it.
There is like a bird with the reddest head over there.
We have the prettiest birds here. But anyway, we have this bird feeder. And the birds kind of eat like slobs and they throw off bird seed everywhere. And we also live behind, as you can tell, a creek and a tree line. I have seen mice come straddling up and eat over there, and it drives me crazy. I keep thinking, them little trespassing heifers are way too close to my house. I'm going to be fixing this situation, and I might have to get redneck about it to do it. Logan keeps telling me they have a right to be there. I'm like, that's bullshit. They ain't got no right to be there. When they pay taxes and rent, they can come and eat and freeload off our bird feed buffet if they want to. My son is like, Mama, you get so worked up over shit. All right, I got to figure out where my channel is. How should I begin to work on my thoughts around weekend eating being no different than weekday eating? I tend to overeat at night when I'm relaxing, which then turns into mindless overeating and wake up feeling like shit the next morning, giving myself a mental beatdown. First of all, you got to stop the mental beatdown, Jennifer. You're not going to, yeah, the nature's pop shits for sure. They are nature. Oh my God, that's a child of mine. The first thing is you don't need to be giving yourself a mental beatdown. That's where you're going to have to like, that's like step one is like sitting there going, okay, I just have a pattern of eating on the weekends. And the pattern is me telling myself I'm relaxing with food. Whereas now I have to tell myself I am learning to relax without the food. So you already know what your trigger thought is. A lot of you are like, you will have thoughts like, you know, I just keep telling myself it's time to relax. It's like, okay, so now you know the thought that you have, that's your gateway. We don't need to get rid of that thought. We need to have the rest of the sentence. The rest of the sentence is, I just want to relax. And that's a thought that I'm working on and not eating it because of. Like, you got to start telling yourself that part. I would also just like come up with like write a little bit about, here's why my weekend eating is anything but relaxing. I think these things, I feel these things, my body goes through this. Like, I'm a big believer in really understanding, like, for a long, what we typically do is we glamorize the behavior that of which we do. Like, we'll like argue with our stuff and say, oh, but I'm telling you, no, I really feel relaxed and stuff. And I said, and I will say like, okay, I get that that's one side of the story. There's part of you that in the moment does feel that, but you can't let that be the only story. You know why? Otherwise you'll have no reason to ever not do it. So you got to unglamorize the behavior. And unglamorizing behavior is by handwriting. This is what phase two of No BS is all about, guys. It's about writing your thought downloads around, here is why food is anything but relaxing on the weekend. And you'd really tell that story. And you talk about all the ways it's painful. It's like, ugh, and it sets me up to, like, I have to wake up the next morning. And then I'm forced to, like, the first thing that happens is all my doo-doo thoughts come in. And then it, things like these thoughts. And then you go through, and then I've got to, like, redirect my brain. And I have to tell myself all these things. It's just exhausting. Just doesn't seem very relaxing. You need to, your brain has got to know that part. Because right now, you're just giving it one side of the story. A very small part of the story. And then what, so once you do that, once you unglamorize it, let me think about this. So once you've unglamorized that part of the story, then what you need to do is you need to like describe what a relaxing weekend without food looks like. So that your brain can have something that it can look forward to, something that it can like really like say, well, okay, well, that possibly could work too. So coming up with ideas on what is a weekend without like relaxing with food going to look like that also is relaxing. And then the last part, which I think is a very big key part, guys, is making sure that you also understand that it's like when you give up, like, so you're going to trade the mental beatdowns and you're going to trade a lot of that stuff in for, you know, like when we think about like, well, I'm going to get through the weekend and I'm not going to eat and I'm going to lose weight and I get all this positive stuff. You also have to kind of set the real stage up for yourself and say, you know, but I'm also trading in for another set of problems. It's not like not eating on the weekends means my weekends are now going to be amazing. It means that for a few weeks, I'm going to be learning how to not eat when I normally do, and that might be uncomfortable. Like setting your brain up for like not telling it that it's going to be so hard and, you know, I just got to like white knuckle. I'm just going to have to get through it. Like you don't want to paint it like that, but you tell yourself like realistically but compassionately, you know, it may take like me messing up a few times. I'm going to have to trade in like trying not to relax with food and recreating all this stuff. I'm also going to be probably making some mistakes and I'm going to have to trade the discomfort of learning how to process through it. I'm going to be like signing up for figuring some stuff out and going through the process of, you know, trying things until I find the right things. I just think all of that's really important and that's a process. If one of my coaches is on here, I don't know if we have any coaches on here. We should take this little bit that I just did and shoot it into a weekend strategy thing. I think this whole thing that I just talked about with weekends could seriously be like a check, like a, not a whole bonus course, but it could like literally be something that we could put down as a resource. Like just a quickie, like, I don't know, what would you call it? How to go from having, oh, I know. We used to call it this a long time ago. Going from having a weekend, W-E-A-K, to a weekend, W-E-E-K. So we could do something like that. We'll try to put some stuff together on that for you guys. Now, don't be expecting that shit to be turned around in a week. It probably going to take us a few weeks to do this. Look for this in June or July. Or in July, probably. Let's see. We'll get it to you, though, guys. For now, we can at least clip that one piece out and make it a rant. Why does it seem that when I don't eat three times a day, I gain? I don't know, Nicole. I guess it depends on what you're eating. Does it mean that, like, if you did it for a whole week, do you mean one day? Give me more information. It could mean nothing also. And I don't understand what you, when you say you don't eat three times a day, does that mean you're eating four? Or does that mean you're eating one? Are you eating two? Are you eating six? I have a story around telling people I'm trying to lose weight. Through my TDLs, I find it's around not disappointing myself when I don't succeed. I have a lot of judgment, need a new story. Where do I start? Tell the story of what you want it to mean. This is a super easy one. Is it Nelly? Yeah. I don't want to disappoint myself when I don't succeed. You need to start telling yourself more often. Sometimes I think I'm not going to succeed, but here's how I will. I would do that for like every single day. Make that your mission for the next 30 days when you do your morning thought downloads. Like, I want you to tell yourself, today, the reason why I know I'm going to succeed in weight loss is because I'm learning these things. Or today, the reason why I'm going to succeed in weight loss is because these are the things I see changing in myself. You have to start giving your brain evidence of what it is that you seek, pulling apart the things that you're doing. Like, if it's even just drinking your water, whatever it is, you need to start like highlighting all the reasons why you're going to succeed, because your brain is just locked into an old story and that's it. What are some of your favorite grab and go foods? I am a deputy coroner in a small county, so we're on call for 24 hours a day. I get called and leave my house if I have to go out. I want to be prepared to grab food to take with me because I could be on the scene for hours. One of the things that you could do, which is like, I don't know how long you have to get out of your house, but I used to do this. I used to just make one of my Weight Watchers pizzas. They take 3.5 minutes in the microwave, drop it in a Ziploc baggie, and then you could just, if you have like a small, you can keep like a really small cooler in your fridge or in your freezer that has ice packs already in it, so that when you go like that, all you gotta do is like microwave one of those, throw that into the cooler, the ice is already packed, everything's already done. You got 3.5 minutes. And then you could keep pre-portioned nuts. Beef jerky is always a good selection. I used to make these snack bags where I would mix in like nuts, and I would have pumpkin seeds, and I would have like cereal, like one of my favorite healthier cereals. I would make bags of that. So like you have a snack, I mean, protein bars in a pinch are good, but if you're going to be gone for a long time, you're like looking for meals. Let me think of what else. Well, I tell you what I used to do a long time ago too, is if I knew I was going to have to be out of the house, they're not the healthiest meals, but they get the job done. So I don't want to hear a bunch of like, oh my God, that has shelf life for 30 years bullshit. Hormel makes these little dinners that if you don't mind eating it cold, they get the job done. You just rip the top off and eat it. They had like a pot roasted mashed potato one. I can't even remember what all I used to eat. They have several like that. You know, if you can't microwave things and like you can take those, what are they, soup in a can. I mean, the way that I always look at it is when I have something like that, what I call emergency food, it's literally emergency food, and I don't need to, that's like my meals I'm for sure not going to have an orgasm around. Like, I just need something to eat. And so I just keep some bullshit like that around. I'm trying to think, like, nowadays I'm at home most of the time, but that's also a good question for, you know, you can always think if that's a regular occurrence for you, like, you know, it's going to happen once or twice a week. I would probably make like somebody said, hard boiled eggs and cheese sticks and things like that. You could just, keep some things in your fridge where you can just put some of that kind of stuff in there, like baby carrots also, like things that are like easy to grab, those little individual hummus things or guac packs and stuff like that, so that you can basically pack a kit every single week for like, or what I would do is probably on Sunday, pack a kit so that when you have to leave, you grab that and it's got its ice packs in there. And then that way, when you come home, you just pack the kit one more time. That also might work. During the self-sabotage course, I'm beginning to discover I'm not allowing myself to dream. The oddest thing is I seriously cannot envision a future me without having previous weight loss. I'm so worried about never being able to do it. I'm trying too hard to give myself equal airtime to different thoughts, but I'm still struggling to dream. You just have to keep at it. You have to keep at it. Like, don't sit there and be like, I can't dream or whatever. You can. You just have to allow yourself to keep at it. So what I would do is start with a more immediate future self. Think about like, okay, if it's hard for me to access future me at my goal, then let me access future me with 2 to 3 weeks of following plans. What is she thinking about? What is she doing? If you need to just do a week. But one of the things that I would really work on is you don't need previous weight loss achievements at all. Like, I had never lost all my weight until I lost all my weight. I didn't have a previous weight loss achievement to dream about. I didn't need to have that in order to think about, like, I want you to think about this. I want, like, why do you want to lose weight? Like, everybody wants to lose weight for a reason. And it's always going to be some kind of feeling. Like, I think about when I first started losing weight, and I knew that I just wanted to feel better. And so I would ask myself, like, what will feel better? Like, what things will change for me? So starting with your future self of, like, what are sometimes the easiest way is to kind of make a list of like 5 things that, not that you hate right now, but like 5 things that right now that you don't like that losing weight will help with. So One of my biggest first goals when it was coming to losing weight was, I remember when Chris and I would go shopping or someplace, he walked so much faster than me and I couldn't keep up with him. And I hated that. And one of my first goals when I was losing weight was to be able to walk as fast as Chris when we went places without getting winded or needing to tell him to slow down. So for me, I knew that losing weight meant I would be able to keep up with my husband. Like, I couldn't wait to be able to keep up with Chris when we would walk. I couldn't wait to not have to shop at Lane Bryant anymore. It was important to me. I'd been shopping at Lane Bryant since I was, since they opened, essentially. And I wanted to be able to, like having that stuff. Like, you don't have to see yourself thin. You don't have to do all that. But you need to think about, the little things. And a lot of times, guys, when you're thinking about your future self, remember that she's going to have problems. She's not going to be, perfect or happy all the time. She's probably not even going to love her body. She's going to be like every other woman in the world. She's going to have to learn to love her body too. This is, I think, one of the things. I was listening to something on the future self the other day that I think all of us, don't understand, is that you don't lose weight and suddenly just love yourself. It's like you have to practice figuring out how to love yourself on the way down, because when you get to the end, you're just going to have new problems. That's all. I traded having to need a seatbelt extender, and I traded wearing 24 size pant and 22 size pant, and I traded just all kinds of stuff for loose skin. The problem of loose skin. It was just a trade I had to be willing to make. I traded, with my arms. I like my arms and stuff, but they're getting older. They still have loose skin. But I will tell you, I wouldn't even have worn anything that wasn't, had a long sleeve on it. I traded that, not even wanting anybody to see my arms, for having loose skin under my arms, but liking another part. I think sometimes when you're trying to access your future self stuff, it's just really understanding your future self's not perfect. But she, has things she's enjoying that you right now aren't. And I think sometimes that might take the pressure off of, trying to find, trying to access some of that. Because when we, I think a lot of times, the disappointment of not getting there really comes from this fantasy that she is so much better off than you are now. I think that I am better off in some ways than the old version of me, but I still have plenty of problems. It wasn't like I lost all my weight and it was fuck yeah, I never have another worry ever again. No. I just worry about different things now. I think about different things. Other things are problems, and I have to do that work too. And that is what I think makes everything so much more better when you get there, where you're not afraid to stay there. Because for people who think they're going to lose all their weight and it's just going to be great, people are going to respect me and everybody's the world's going to change around me, all the things, we always have these fantasies. And if you get there, and let's say your husband has gone from not noticing you at all, you always thought the reason why your husband didn't want to have sex was because you were overweight, and then you lose all of your weight, and now your husband's just upset and afraid you're going to leave him. It's like you've just traded another, you've just dealt with something different. It's like if you thought that it was going to solve your marriage, you losing weight, and it doesn't, you'll gain your weight back because you're like, well, if that wasn't the answer, then why the fuck did I do this? It's like, I'm not trying to poo-poo on y'all, but I do want you guys to be very realistic that as you're losing weight, you might as well start enjoying the ride. You might as well start changing the relationship you have with yourself. You might as well start finding things you like about yourself, you might as well set the process up to enjoy it and stuff, because when you lose all your weight, you're still going to have problems. If you lose your weight, not expecting your weight loss to solve all your problems, but on the way down, you use your brain to start solving your problems. When you get there, you got your brain, plus you lost all your weight. And you got a brain that knows how to solve problems. You made a statement on the podcast about eating in the evening that has been life-changing to me. When you talked about us having an idea of the ideal person our significant other and family should be for us, but never realizing there are expectations they have for us that we aren't meeting as well. Not sure why, but this was like boom for me. It has made me so much more mindful of the expectations I put on my family and has caused me to show more grace to them. Thank you. Oh, you're welcome. What is a good size for an accountability group? We usually suggest no more than 6. So when you're first starting groups, we try to keep, like, usually I think the anywhere from 3 to 6. We do have some that are bigger, but just depending on how much you guys are going to interact and stuff, I usually say anywhere from like 3 to 6. I think that that's about the good number, but it really depends on your group and how active you are and all that kind of stuff. I need encouragement to make the 24-hour plan for the weekend days. Sometimes in the mind frame that weekends are a free-for-all. Well, that's why you don't need encouragement. You need to stop telling yourself weekends are a free-for-all. Let me ask you this. Do you wake up every Monday morning proud as fuck that you had a free-for-all? Or do you wake up every morning going like, man, I need to figure this weekend shit out? That's your encouragement. I want you to encourage yourself to change the idea that how can I, like if you're having a free-for-all, it's because you want freedom on the weekend. So how can you set yourself up to feel free with food by also eating things that are going to help you get to your goal? Working on a better thought about feeling uneasy now that I hit Wonderland. This has been the spot where I usually fall off my weight loss plan. This story came out this week when I wrote my self-sabotage on my ability to lose weight, and I'm trying to wrap my head around the ability to lose with ease and not anticipating when the next shoe is going to drop. So this is really simple. You already know what the problem is. When you start getting to a certain place, you start like worrying like, okay, this is when problems start arising. Okay, what problems typically start arising? Your brain's already going there. That probably is when the next level problems start arising. This is probably where, like, you know, I can lose this amount of weight making this level of changes and stuff quite comfortably. Then when I need to lose the next round of weight, there's going to be another round of changes that I'm not so comfortable with. What are the ones that I think I'm not so comfortable with and why? Identifying all of that and then asking yourself. So, you know, like for a lot of you, you'll go through, you know, what it takes to, like when I was losing weight, like the first 50 pounds, you know, it wasn't, like I was making changes, but I could make lots of little changes. The second 50 pounds, I just started learning to like some vegetables. Like I had to eat ice cream like 3 times a week rather than every night. Like I had to start doing some of that stuff. And if I started like going with the next 50 pounds going, oh, see, this is where I can't have a lifestyle. I started really thinking about the next level things about how am I going to make this my lifestyle? Like, how am I going to make this important to me? How am I going to make this like inviting? How am I going to make this part of who I want to be rather than like the shoe dropping? And you also probably need to like the shoe dropping to me means I see like slower losses or whatever, because like my first 50 pounds, they came off in a certain rate. The last 50 pounds came off at a different rate. You know, like when you're 250, you're going to lose 2 to 3 pounds a week sometimes. When you're 165, you're not. The math is different with the number, but the percentage is usually about the same. So it's like just pulling all of it apart and looking at it factually. And then how do you want to start thinking about getting under 200? Noticing that you have the trigger thought of the shoe is going to drop, that's just a trigger thought for you to start saying, I often think at this point the shoe's about to drop, and that's just something I've thought in the past. I've done it different this time. You got to use that thought to trigger what it is you actually want to start believing now. Why this time is so different. I've heard a lot of talk in the tribe about how often to weigh in. Some weigh in every day. I prefer Fridays. It doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter. You just don't weigh more than once a day. I talked about this the other day. Somebody find the link to the call where I talked all about weigh in. I think it was on the, it might have been the public live that I did on Wednesday. Watch that. It does not matter. What matters is the conversation you have with yourself when you see the circumstance of your number. That's really what matters. Day-to-day weighing in for someone allows them to practice building a strong relationship with their actions and what they're thinking about themselves. For some people, it triggers a lot of doo-doo thoughts that they can use to strengthen the relationship. For some people, they just weigh in on Fridays because they're only really thinking about what they're going to keep, start, and stop every single week. They're only going to think about their actions and make adjustments once a week, so they just weigh in on Fridays. It really just depends on what you want to do. Working on my old weight loss story, I find I don't have any idea of what goal weight might look like. We just talked about that. I am working on impulse eating. What is the best way to stop between the impulse and the action? You got to identify your impulse eating. So you need to know, like, what thoughts do I normally have? This is where doing discovery worksheets are really helpful, because before, like right now, you have an impulse. Unless you know the phrases that you use in your head, the times of day, the types of food, you want to know like every cue that you have for impulse eating that you can possibly find. So sometimes the ending of the impulse eating really starts with a couple of weeks of real investigation. Because if you've been doing it by habit, impulse eating is just, it all it means is you're in the habit of doing it, and your brain sends up a thought, you have a feeling, and you act on it before you even know what's happening. That's it. It's just happening fast. So we just have to slow that process down. And the first step to slowing all of it down is really understanding all the cues around it. That's what the discovery worksheet helps you do. It helps you start identifying times of day, types of food, thoughts you think, feelings you have, where you're at, all that kind of stuff. Once you get that level of awareness raised up, then the impulse, like you start noticing, like I'm walking into the kitchen and what I notice is that when I go into the, I've noticed on my discovery worksheets, when I go to the kitchen at 4 p.m., this is when I typically eat. But the urge will still come. But you're already noticing that you're slowing the process down, because before you were just autopilot going on in there and then you weren't even thinking about it until you weighed in. Now what we're doing is we're like getting that initial awareness so that you have to like sit there and go like, oh, like I notice I do this. Then we just have to work on urge responses and stuff. That's when you start like saying, okay, then when I think this, that I want to have these cues, like I can either make it harder to go into the kitchen. I can change up routines. I can do some stuff like that. When I think these things, I want those things to be the trigger for these new thoughts that I'm going to be trying on for a while. And that's how you start like really slowing it down. Most of you are just like, I notice I'm impulse eating. How do I dead stop that? How do I stop this behavior I've been doing like 50 years? Guys, it doesn't happen that fast. You gotta be willing to do the work. How is July camp looking? I know Tennessee is opening back. We are on. So just so everybody who knows who signed up for July camp, we have, I think it's June 12th is when we will like make the next big announcement. As of right now, Tennessee has reopened and Davidson County has. So Davidson County is the county which we actually have the camp. I live in Williamson County. It opened a week early. Davidson County is where Nashville is. And Nashville opened 1 week later just to kind of make sure things were, you know, on the up and up and all that kind of stuff. Things are going well here from what I understand. I keep up with all the things. We're looking good for having it. And I'm excited. If for some reason we can't have it, everybody that's registered, we will be taking care of you. So don't worry about that. But we feel pretty good about it. So there's spots still open if you guys want to join. I'm really looking forward to it. I got lots of exciting things planned. And so there we go. In the daily plan, I'm having a difficult time figuring out how to fill in the section. A PNP coach looking at my plan would remind me. Any suggestions? Yeah, just like if you were talking to Kathy and you showed her your plan, what would she tell you? If you showed it to Betsy, if you showed up, y'all think about this. If you showed up to a coaching call, by the way, we are redoing the planner, just so everybody knows. It is getting its annual rewrite right now. It's at the designer, and it's good. That question happens to be coming out. So for all of you who've been struggling with it, we decided to take it out because it's one of the most commonly asked questions. But essentially, the way I like to look at it is like, if I showed up to a call with Kathy, Betsy, or MJ, and they looked at my plan, what would they say? If they looked at my thought download, what would they say? Like, just think about, like, what would Kathy, Betsy, or MJ tell me today? I have an overeat. If I have an overeat, it gives me license to keep eating the rest of the day or night. It doesn't give you license. Let's clean up our language a little bit. When I overeat, I have a thought that says, let's keep eating the rest of the day and night. The overeat does not cause that. This is really important. Because if you guys keep blaming an overeat on the reason why you keep eating, you don't have a place to pause yourself. You have to take ownership. Overeats can't make you do anything. When I have an overeat, I immediately think this. And when I think this, that's why I feel like, I guess, wide ass open to eat the rest of the day. So figure out what that thought is. I feel relief that I don't have to worry the rest of the day. Okay, right now, we have to quit worrying that we're going to overeat. You have a story around your overeats. You need to come up with what the story is about an overeat. And I'm going to guess that your story is, if they fuck me up, they mean I'm just going to keep overeating for the rest of the day. List your top five thoughts and judgments you have about an overeat. And then I want you to ask, is that useful? Because here's the problem all of you are going to run into. You need clean thoughts about your overeats, or you're going to keep overeating and throwing your progress away. That's self-sabotage. Your story about an overeat is important. So find your top five thoughts. Are they useful or not? If it's not useful, change the story. I don't ever think overeats are bad. Overeats are going to make me gain weight. Overeats have to end. Overeats are a problem. Overeats are a green light to just keep eating. Overeats are an oh well moment. I never think that stuff. You know why? Not any of it's useful. Ever. Take each one. Like, now I know some of you will be like, what are you fucking talking about? Overeats are bad. If I keep overeating, I'm going to gain weight. Blah, blah, blah. That is a collection of thoughts. And they don't feel good. And they're not useful. And they keep you in patterns of self-defeating behavior. So let's just agree that your shit-tastic thoughts ain't going to help you. So now it's time to like think about what's going to be the new story around the overeats. Because when my old thoughts come in, I got to trigger the new story. I ain't ever met a woman who's lost all her weight that didn't overeat herself all the way down the scale. Now, doesn't mean that you're overeating all the damn time and stuff, but when you have a different thought process behind overeats, like these overeats are the stepping stones to figuring out the next thing I need to address, the next excuse I need to work on, the next whatever it is, the next feeling I need to be willing to feel, the next, my overeating on the weekends, the next way that I need to set my life up to relax without food, whatever it is. Overeats do that part. And when you start thinking that the overeats are a very useful tool to figuring out the stuff you need to overcome, you start working on your overeats. You start pulling them apart and seeing what you can learn, rechanging the way you talk to yourself, re-experiencing the same situations where you normally overeat to get to where you don't overeat. It's not about saying like, oh, it's okay, tomorrow's another day. That's bullshit. No, that's complacency thinking. I'm talking about anything but complacency. I'm talking about using Overeats as fuel to figure out what you need to work on. That's not complacency. That's called getting to work. What are your favorite cereals for breakfast? Well, I love me some Fiber One. I love Raisin Bran. I like to mix Fiber One. Every now and then, I like to buy peanut butter Cap'n Crunch. And I like to mix Fiber One with peanut butter Cap'n Crunch because, y'all, I just love me some peanut butter. I also like, let's see, I like granola a lot. So I eat, right now I'm eating just, I don't know, whatever we can find that's shipped will send us right now. Let's see. Usually those are probably Raisin Bran, Wheat Bran, Fiber One, peanut butter Cap'n Crunch mixed with some stuff. I don't really like things like the sugary ones. I love Corn Flakes. I do love Corn Flakes. Those are probably my favorites if I had to like pick out all my favorites. Will I ever be able to have a drink and not overeat? You need to answer that, Gwendolyn. How am I going to know? Here's my question to you. Why are you asking me? You need to answer that question yourself rather than being like, no, I don't know. I just keep like, here's where your brain goes. Oh, no, because every single time I have a drink, I typically overeat. Your brain goes to where it's been going. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to ask the question and answer it with the answer you want, like, yes. And here are all the ways I'm going to try. And here are all the ways that I'm working on to be able to have a drink and not eat. I have a story right now that when I overeat or go off that I can't change, or I have this all or nothing thought that I will always be this way. Okay, that's your trigger thought. That's just the way that your brain keeps wanting to go to. That thought is not a problem. The problem is, why not? You gotta have the, but here's what it really means thought. Because your brain's never gonna attach a new meaning unless you start giving it a new meaning to attach to. Y'all gonna have to quit sitting around whining about thoughts you have and acting like, well, I just don't understand why nothing changes. I'm just gonna sit here and have kumbaya wine fest with everybody around the thoughts that I keep having without doing any work to redirect my brain, without coming up with new stories, and without trying to remind myself for the next 3 years. Like, if y'all, like, for the amount of time you've been in the tribe, I want everybody to just take a big deep breath. And I want you to go back to the day you joined. Whether that was April or 2017, whenever it is you joined. Imagine for a hot second that the bullshit sentence that you've been telling yourself about your ability to lose weight, if every single time you've thought it, from that moment until now, you said, but I'm figuring my shit out every single day, and I'm not quitting, and this is just a thought that I think. If you had done that every single time, somebody fucking please tell me what you think your life would be like right now. What would have changed? Seriously. Y'all don't think about that. Here's what y'all think. I found a thought. I hate it. I found a thought. I don't know why it's not going away. I found a thought, and like for 3 days I tried to think something new and that didn't work. Don't matter that I've been doing it for 20 years. Seriously. Like, are you willing to, every time you have those thoughts, allow it to be a trigger to think something new? Even if you keep thinking it and you catch yourself 3 hours into it, be like, oh, shit, I'm supposed to be thinking this. Okay, now I'm going to think this. Rather than be like, oh, my God, I keep forgetting to think the new thoughts. There must be something wrong with me. Stop. That's what y'all do. You got to stop doing it. You ain't got time for that horse shit. I know that if your children or your boyfriends or your partners, your mamas, if all of them did that to you all the time, like they just kept coming in going like, I thought this, oh my God, I must be so broken. Or, you know, this didn't work out. Oh my God, it must be something wrong. If that was going on all the time around you, you'd be like, what is wrong with you people? Go do your homework. just go get gas. Like, oh my God, I keep coming outside every 7 days and I ain't got hardly any gas. I don't know what's happening. Y'all approach your thinking like it's just supposed to change because you listen to me talk. It only changes because you listen to me talk and then you repeated the things I talked about on your own time. All right. I lost 60 pounds and have maintained since September. I haven't been tuning in and doing the daily for some time now. What is something I can do to get myself back into the mental mode of weight loss? I want to lose 40 more pounds, but I don't feel in any rush. But I liked being in weight loss mode. All right, you need to start thinking about, like, okay, this week, in order to be in weight loss mode, here's the shit I need to do. You don't need to be motivated. And then here's the thing, like, you need to write, like, what is weight loss mode going to be? Like, if you actually liked being in weight loss mode, you'd still be in it. I want you to think about what you just asked. That'd be like saying, I really like cheesecake. Can somebody motivate me to go get a piece? It's in the kitchen. I mean, it's just sitting there. Every day somebody brings fresh cheesecake to the house and I love it. Like, I really want cheesecake. I love cheesecake. I wish I was eating cheesecake. And it's in there. I wish somebody would, like, help me go get it. Like, tell me, what do I need to do to go get the cheesecake? I just, for some reason, I love it, but I'm not motivated to go get it. Y'all would never say that. Nobody would ever, if I had a island full of food you love sitting in there, would nobody say, I'm very unmotivated to go get it? Y'all would be like, I'm going to get my ass up and go do that. It's the same thing. If you actually like weight loss mode, you'll go get in weight loss mode. I have a thought that you don't like it as much as you say you do. I have a thought that you think weight loss mode means these things. It's like, well, I really like what I'm doing now in maintenance. It's like, okay, so what's the difference between maintenance and weight loss mode? And are you excited for it or not? And if you're not excited about it, then decide, do you need to start there? What things can you start changing that will feel good and will feel right? Along your comments around loose skin, years ago, my mom would warn me that if I got too big, that once I lost weight, I would have to deal with loose skin. I think it was her way of trying to motivate me to lose weight. Her comments are really stuck in my craw. How can I start to give them less power? Just decide why, rather than thinking about what you're afraid, like all of you, quit thinking about what you're afraid of when you lose weight and start thinking about why you want to. What is there to look forward to? What if we just do this? Why don't all of you lose your weight and then I'll teach you how to deal with loose skin? Let's get that problem. This is what I'm always like, y'all are always so afraid of having loose skin. Like, yeah, I got loose skin. You know what? The worst that happens is I judge myself sometimes. The worst that happens is I look at it and think, you know, I wish I didn't have it. The worst that happens is I look at it and like, ugh, I work too hard for this. Like, the worst that happens is I have thoughts about it that I have to clean up. That's a problem I want. I want to have the problem of loose skin. I want to have the problem of needing to work on my self-judgment around loose skin. Because you know what I'm not doing? I'm not waking up each day winded, worried I'm going to die, teaching my child bad food habits, worried my husband's going to cheat on me because I'm overweight. Like, that was the problems I had back then. And I had to work on all that. You know, sometimes, like, losing weight cleans up some of that bullshit thoughts. But you just invite new ones. I'd rather work on my loose skin thoughts than every time I was terrified that one day Chris wouldn't love me anymore because I was so fat. That I was always terrified he would leave me, even though that man loved me and he gave me no reason to think he was going anywhere. My brain assumed he was. And I didn't lose weight to keep him. I lost weight knowing that I needed to lose weight for me. But it sure made it a lot easier to believe he was going to stick around. I don't have to work on that near as much. Now, I will say, I traded that problem for worrying he's going to leave me sometimes because I run my smart-ass mouth real fast and lose my temper. Like I said, losing weight doesn't, like, solve all you woes. There's plenty of times I act like an asshole and I think, oh, he's going to leave me because I act like an asshole. At least he'll have a good view when he leaves. Will the updated planner be available? I order in binder inserts, or will it only be in spiral? I'm still using the binder and printing the pages. It's going to be spiraled also. We're going to do it as a spiraled version. That's what we've decided to do. The binder version, guys, as pretty as that binder was, it was just very hard to ship it and it not break. We just had a lot of issues with it. So we just decided to give y'all in the spiral. We are laying the planner out different. So it's going to have like sections now. So you'll have your planning pages in one section, your weekly, your weigh-in, Hello Scale type worksheets in one section. There's going to be sections so that you're not having to worry about them like being off kilter and all that kind of stuff. All right, guys, I just want to tell y'all it was fun. Y'all have an amazing Saturday. I'm going to be working on more self-sabotage stuff. If you don't know, I made this announcement on May 23rd. There is a huge full day virtual event happening that the public is going to have to pay to come to, but you guys are all my VIPs. You get to come as part of being members, and it will be more. It's called Ending Self-Sabotage. So you guys have got a lot of the thought work. They're going to get a little bit of thought work, and I'm going to add in some of the tactical stuff, like just all kinds of stuff like that. So you guys will get to come. You get to be VIPs. We are going to be doing amazing things all day long, and it will also be included in the Breaking Self-Sabotage course. So we just wanted to make this month really special for you guys. And so you all will come. You will not need to sign up or do anything. We're making it super easy on you. All the information is inside the Facebook group right now. We're also putting it in the Massive Action Line for tomorrow. And you won't have to do anything. We're going to send you links and all the things in email. We'll also make sure that we put it everywhere, like on the website, so you guys can find it super simple and all the things. So you just basically just from on May 23rd from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. Central Time, block it out on your calendar. If you can't come, you'll have the replay, so you don't have to worry about that either. But if you block it out on your calendar, we will take care of the rest and make sure that you get to take all this work that we're doing with self-sabotage and just really apply it at a whole nother level. Y'all have a good one. Bye, y'all.